Good morning and happy Easter to you. This is a very strange way for us to have Easter, but it is the necessary way for us to celebrate Easter with each other. I miss being in your energy, and I miss the celebration and the joy that we always have on this day. This is the Reverend Jill Carey from Unity of Wimberley, Texas, and I'm glad you could join us. We all agreed to wear our Easter bonnets today, and there are already some of you posting photos of your Easter bonnets. I have on my magic Easter bonnet with the, the Easter unicorn brooch on it. And just wanted you to see that because the hat obscures too much of my face for filming. So here goes the hat. And happy Easter again. Oh, my friends, what a time we're in right now. It's a new world that we're living in. It's important for us to embrace the newness of what we're living in right now, even as we celebrate what's familiar to us. What's unfamiliar is that we're not together with each other in body. We are together with each other in spirit, and it's important for us to recognize that, especially on this day. The new life and the renewal that we honor on Easter is centuries old. The risen Jesus Christ, the risen Christ Spirit, is truly our own reborn selves. And we are experiencing that right now. We're experiencing who we are as we leave an old world behind, as we've known it, and enter a new world. Many things will remain the same, but many things will also be changed. And hopefully the way humanity will go after this crisis will echo the themes of Easter, will echo the theme of Passover, in that we journey from our old way of being to a new way of being, that we move from greed to good, that we move from being separate and seeing our differences to being together and appreciating what we have in common, no matter who, no matter where. We have certainly given up more during this Lenten season than we thought that we would. You know, it seems like all the things we might have put into place at the beginning of Lent are now a useless list, but we've given up so much. But on the other hand, we've gained so much as well. What was old, as I said, has passed away. It's died in order that something new can come forth. And we've never had a more obvious lesson than we have right now in the Easter story. However, it's easy for us to fall into the platitudes about Easter, those might ring a little hollow right now. So I want us to go a little deeper in our Easter service than we might usually. We're not used to celebrating this holiday and what it represents without the joy of being with each other. And so let's try a new way of looking at it, shall we? Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to read the story of Easter to you from the book of John. Now, we have to remember that the book of John was the last of the Gospels that was written. It was quite a bit after Jesus had died and resurrected. And so it's a little more imaginative. It probably has a little more of the bias of the writer, but it's fun to read. So let me just read this passage from John 20. It says, early on in the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. There's a couple of things to unpack in that particular reading. You notice that there was the talk about the disciple whom Jesus loved and the one who got there first, which indicates that the writer might have been John, the disciple, and had a little jealousy going on with Simon Peter. So there's that. But then the other part of the story that I find very significant, of course, Mary had gone to prepare the body for burial, which was the Jewish tradition. But what I find interesting is that he said, "Mary, don't cling to me yet. I've not yet ascended to my Father," which leads me to believe, and some biblical scholars, that Jesus had assumed a spirit body, not a body of the flesh, but a body that was so energetic and just energetic, not fleshly, that he needed to have that space. He needed to be in the space of total groundedness in spirit. So I find that an interesting way to look at that particular telling of the story, because it indicates so much about the relationships of the people that have walked to the earth with Jesus. But it also talks about the possibility of not a physical body, but a spirit body that was appearing at that time. Now, the story of Easter, just like the story of Christmas, it stretches our rational minds. We wonder, if that resurrection happened that way, then why haven't we seen that more often? There are so many questions that come up in classes and in discussions about the Easter story and how we're supposed to take it, how we're supposed to believe it. So we have to look for something that's deeper than the literal telling of the story. We have to look at not only the symbolism, which I've talked about a little bit, but also what we're going to do with that symbolism. And I will say to you what I say to you at Christmas. Something happened. Something happened all those centuries ago. Something that transcends rational thought and has survived as a glorious mystery all these years. Something happened that changed the face of the world. More importantly, it joins those in the Christian family together. As a matter of fact, Jehovah's Witnesses celebrate this as their only holiday of the year. They don't celebrate Christmas. They don't celebrate people's birthdays. They celebrate Easter, because in Jehovah's Witnesses, Easter is the most important holiday because it's about the risen, the resurrected Christ Spirit. So right now, as you're listening to this talk, also knowing that time and space are irrelevant at this time and irrelevant in spirit, as you're listening to this right now, there are others in the Christian world, around the world, that have been telling and listening to the same message. That brings us into solidarity on this day with an enormous group of people, enormous. And I was just reading this morning about Pope Francis, who is, I'll say, one of my favorite popes in my lifetime, about the solitary nature and the humble nature of the way Pope Francis has done the Easter service, Easter sacraments, in solitude, and how he's brought that message to people all by himself, which seems to add to the solemnity of this particular holiday. And I have so much admiration for him. I also read that last year there was something that Jesus did in that last Holy Week in which he washed the disciples' feet. Pope Francis went to a prison and he washed the feet of 12 inmates, some of whom were Muslim. And I love the way that this particular pope, and therefore all of us, can follow that example. This particular pope embraces all people. And this is a time for us to do that as well. We've spent much too long looking at differences between us in our Christian faith. Differences in theology, differences in doctrine, differences in practices, differences in the way we approach the world. And so now is the time for us to set all of that aside. We have one holiday that brings us all together, no matter how we celebrate it. And so this is the stretch that I'm inviting all of us to make during this Easter, is to embrace all of our brothers and sisters, all of them, all of the Christians that are celebrating Easter, all of our Jewish brothers and sisters who are celebrating the Passover and honoring that escape from slavery and oppression into freedom. Right now, we might feel a little oppressed, but freedom is on its way. It's on its way, my friends, and we have to hold on to that. There's a chance, there's an opportunity for us to focus more on unification with each other, rather than coming out of this with a heightened sense of polarity. That's a possibility. It's a possibility that our differences will be more highlighted than our similarities. Let's not let that happen. Let's find a way to embrace all people everywhere. Let's find a way to watch our words and our thoughts. Let's become kind. Embrace in your heart this day all who celebrate Easter. Embrace our commonness as human beings on this planet. Embrace that there is a mystery to this holiday that we don't understand. But we can see it all around us. We can see it in the renewal that we're going through. We can see it in our courage and our strength. We can see it even in our isolation. We can see it in the beauty of our essential workers and our healthcare workers. I made a run to the pharmacy yesterday, and I made sure to say thank you to the girl who was checking out the things that I had behind her plastic shield. And we were both masked and gloved. but our eyes could connect with each other. I thanked her for being someplace where many of us would not choose to be if our lives didn't depend on it, and if our livelihood did not depend on it. So every day in your hearts, give thanks to those who are serving the public right now in all the many ways that they're serving the public. Let's find our commonness. Let us unravel for ourselves the mystery that occurred all those centuries ago when Jesus said, "No, I'm alive." And we discover that we too are alive, no matter what we've experienced, no matter what we're going to experience. We are alive in our hearts, in our minds, in our actions, in our thoughts. This Easter seems especially precious. As different as it is, it's especially important because it's vital that we embrace this new way. It is vital that we find our hope above all, that we find our hope every day. So I invite you to look for hope. Listen for that living presence of spirit. Embrace the idea of miracles, which occur every single day. They're there all the time, and all we have to do is open our eyes and be willing to see. So go outside, look at the flowers, listen to the birds. Go outside and watch the greening of the earth. Listen to the silence. And I know I've encouraged you to do this over the last few weeks, and I still do. Find in yourself that which is renewed. When you take a shower, wash off the old and become renewed. Even as you are practicing your daily ritual of cleansing yourself internally and externally. Before we have our meditation, I'd like to share with you from our Lenten book. Kit will be reading for you, has already read for you, I believe, the reading for Easter. But I would like to share with you the reading for Holy Saturday, which is the day on which I'm recording this. It says, "I feast on renewal. I am in God's waiting room where transformation begins. Every part of my being has surrendered to the Christ within. I have crossed out all error thoughts. My soul gently waits in the stillness of my being. The old is gone. The new is yet to be. With steadfast faith, I rest, knowing that my spirit is being renewed. Through the power of prayer and my spiritual practices, I have let go of all thoughts of separation from the One Presence. I affirm my oneness with God. I have done my work. I wait in the silence. My consciousness is clear. My heart is open to the new life bubbling within and ready to come forth as a new creation. I listen to the still small voice that gently whispers something miraculous is occurring in my soul. New life is springing forth. I am rising above the tombs of lack, limitation, and suffering. My mind is rising to Christ consciousness. I feast on the knowing that I am being renewed in body, mind, and soul, resurrected from the tomb of self-pity. I delight in the new creation that is unfolding. I am being renewed in the spirit of truth." And this is credited to Reverend Elizabeth Longo, coach and ministry consultant in South Florida. So I invite you to prepare yourself for meditation. I invite you to begin to breathe deeply and with refreshing breath. I'm going to extend my hand again, as I always do, so that symbolically we might hold hands with each other and know each other's presence even during this meditation. So prepare yourself as we join together in prayer. Close your eyes if you're comfortable. Continue those deep, life-giving breaths. If you're with your beloved, your family members, hold their hand. This is not something we usually do during our meditation, but it is a time for us to be able to connect with those who are close to us in body, mind, and spirit. If you are seeing this by yourself, I am holding your hand, and many others that are joining with us right now. We have emerged from the darkness that is acknowledged on Good Friday. We have rested in the silent darkness and waited. And this day, we emerge renewed. This day, we let time and space become irrelevant, and we let ourselves be merry in the garden, seeing that shimmering, almost unrecognizable representation of the Christ Spirit. We know that energetically, all is well. And you've heard it said, He is risen. He is risen indeed. And notice that it is not He was risen. That would imply that it was a one-time event, unique and finite. But He is risen is an ongoing expression of the Christ Spirit that is eternal. And it lives in us. We were told that this is true. Beloved, you are God's precious creation. On this day, remember. On this day, honor that. On this day, live that, and live it in all the days to come. Kinder, softer, with deep appreciation for all of the blessings that we see and those we have yet to see. even as we embrace the goodness, it opens our hearts to be able to express more love and more compassion. For surely there are those right now who are suffering, whose lives have changed irrevocably. For families who have loved and lost. And beloved, in this meditation, in your breathing, allow yourself to experience the joy and sorrow are sharing the same space. Allow yourself to experience absolute faith in the presence and power of Spirit, even as we live in a world of unknowns. And breathe. Beloved, embrace all people. Our Christian and Jewish brothers and sisters, our Muslim brothers and sisters that will be celebrating Ramadan, our Buddhist and Hindu and Baha'i and all the other faiths, all our brothers and sisters. Journey on this precious planet, moving through space, moving through our solar system with each other. If your heart is heavy today, embrace your breathing and let your burden be lifted and shared by everyone who is sharing in this meditation right now. Dear friends, be willing to help carry the burden of another. Above all, as we begin to bring this meditation to a close, give thanks to the Almighty Spirit within and without, as near as your breath, as far as the stars and beyond. Give thanks, for we are alive now and for all eternity. Let your heart be at peace. Know that all is well. And when you're ready, open your eyes. My friends, do something special for yourself or for another today. Find a way to celebrate. Find a way to lift the burden that we feel in the world right now. Find a way to lift yourself. Happy Easter.